Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. We've been streaming stories every day. I think we're streaming about 5 stories a day. That's what I've been told by my producers, and I want to thank my producers for my new studio, Radio Entrepreneurs on one side, the Family Business Association on the other, which I proudly have been associated with for 13 years, I know, and so has my next reporter, also associated with the Family Business Association. And then in the little corner, we see my management consulting firm, for those of you who thought I was just a mediocre radio host full time. I'm also a mediocre management consultant. And my next guest, also a sponsor of the Family Business Association, Mark Furman, director at Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. Welcome, Mark. And I know there's nothing mediocre about you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Nice to have you too, Mark. And I'm always glad when you smile at my little quips. We're heading into a fall and winter season, maybe potentially another lockdown, repercussions for entrepreneurs and leaders and the court system. What are you telling clients right now? What's going on?
Well, this is certainly an unprecedented year for business owners, including owners of law firms. Nobody has not been impacted by this. And I continue to work remotely. And as you know, I handle a lot of business disagreements between partners, disagreements between companies, as well as provide some general business advice. So I think advice that we're giving is, look at the cost side and be ready to deal with the unexpected as it comes up. And it certainly does come up. We're now experiencing a dramatic increase in the number of positive tests again. And we don't know what the winter is going to bring, but it's hard to be too optimistic in terms of the courts. After a period in the spring of inactivity, things are certainly come back to life, with the exception of jury trials. And I don't know when there's going to be jury trials, but we're having Zoom court hearings, and I look even worse on Zoom than I do in person, Jeffrey. We're doing the best we can. You can't put in what God left out, perhaps, but you do the best you can. One message is, I think, as someone who does what I do, is the courts are open, but let's explore alternative dispute resolution, because if you can mediate a case, this is actually a great time to do mediation. Zoom technology is fabulous with the breakout rooms. You always have a decision maker available, or a good mediator will insist upon the ultimate decision maker being involved. None of these excuses of inability to travel to Boston or New York or Chicago. We're all safe wherever we are. So I think that's a great opportunity to puts things behind you that might be ripe for that, even if you can't get trials. And of course, there's the possibility of arbitration. And there was even an offer in some courts of a jury consisting of 3 judges, as well as 1 presiding judge. Just different ways to reach a resolution. I think courts are, their technology is improved, and there are some advantages to clients that I'm seeing in cost savings by having Zoom hearings and you know, saving on all the travel costs, the time, and you know, most things you get your hearing time, 11 a.m. on October 31st. And instead of going to court and being one of 10 cases that are called for 2 o'clock, you have your selected time, and things happen pretty much on time and ends up saving clients money. And I think they're pretty effective. Not a fan of a Zoom trial, but I think there's a whole lot of business moving cases forward that can be done remotely. I hope some of this is permanent.
Yeah, Mark, again, I don't pretend to even be close to being an expert in this area, but as you talk, you make me think that, you know, if I were going to trial, and that's why I'm going to let you correct me, that I think I would prefer to have 3 judges over a jury, 3 educated, experienced people to talk to each other, to decide on something. Am I wrong, or does that sound like a viable option moving forward because they understand their role?
Well, it's usually, I haven't heard of anybody taking them up on the offer yet, and I suspect this is the reason. In many cases, one party is more excited about having a jury than the other party. And when people demand a jury trial, which they have a right to do for certain types of cases under the Constitution, there's a reason. They don't want judges deciding the facts. They want judges to act as the empire of the rules of law, but the actual fact finder, they want to be a jury. Was the light red, green, or yellow? Did the defendant misrepresent facts in inducing the plaintiff to invest in a company? Those kinds of things. Sometimes people want a jury. In business cases, which, as you know, is where I focus my practice, you know, there's usually a fair amount of complexity. And for most of my cases, I would want a judge. Not every case, but I would prefer a judge dealing with some of the complicated business issues. You know, sometimes I have cases where there are, you know, so many exhibits. It's a lot for jurors to keep track of during the trial, and some of the damage theories that involve, you know, lost profits and what damages were actually caused by a particular act. You know, so, but if you have a personal injury case where the elements that you can recover include pain and suffering, I think most plaintiff's lawyers want a jury to decide that, plaintiff's personal injury lawyers. So I think that's why not that many people are going to take up that offer.
Well, I have another question. You know, current company excluded, I know that you're blissfully happy. You know, there's many couples that are suffering at home, and it's put a lot of pressure on the divorce, you know, process. But a lot of partners, too, are struggling right now in relationships. And, you know, it's hard to do business when you don't see each other, when you can't connect the way you used to connect, and you have different pressures coming from home. Are you seeing that as well? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of pressure in the, let's say, privately owned, family-run organization. You know, expectations from older generation, you got to get to work. a different expectation from younger people saying, I'm not going to the office. So what are you seeing?
I think there's a lot of problems with co-ownership right now, disputes around this. People are not visible to each other in the same way they were. And so I would say the majority of new cases that I've gotten involved in have been disputes between co-owners, partnership disputes, shareholder disputes, member disputes in LLCs. And, you know, people do have a way of putting off attending to how disputes are going to be dealt with when they start businesses, and they never get around to having shareholder agreements, operating agreements, partnership agreements. They're really important when you reach a point of, you know, you don't like each other anymore. You don't think the partners are pulling their weight. They're starting a business on the side that you think they ought to be devoting their efforts to your business. I mean, they're usurping corporate opportunities. They're all sorts of disputes come up. So, you know, and when they do, the first place you have to look is what the agreement between them says. And when there is no agreement, it increases the level of uncertainty, increases the risk, and frequently increases the expense. So it's one of these being penny wise and pound foolish when there's no operating agreement or shareholder agreement or partnership agreement. So I'd urge our listeners to get their legal house in order early in the relationship. And if they haven't done it, try to get it in order before, you know, things become a real problem in a dispute. I mean, the law has written the partnership agreement for you. You just may not like it. You may not like the answers that the law gives when there isn't one. So be proactive. You know, it's sort of like, you know, covering yourself reasonably with risk on insurance and things like that. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish.
Well, you know, this whole concept of co-owner disputes, co-owner harmony, I'm sure you have many partners in your firm. I'm sure each one is dealing with COVID and the change is different than everybody else. I know for me, everyone I'm seeing, there's different ways of dealing with it, and it has created a lot of pressure on owners. So I, you know, moving forward, I'd like to talk to you about these topics on a more regular basis. I think it's an important topic for us to discuss. If someone's looking for you to find out more about these things, how would they find you, Mark?
I can be reached at 617-218-2025. That's my direct line. Also by email, mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
Well, there's one and only Mark Furman from Tarlow, Breedhart & Rogers. Thank you, Mark, and I look forward to talking about these subjects again on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Okay, Mark, we're going to get